Welcome to the Blue Rose Task Force podcast, where we usually look deeply into Twin Peaks as a whole, one episode at a time, using the full scope of the show Twin Peaks and all its official media. And yeah, we'll be using the full scope of Twin Peaks to look at today's episode, but we're looking at an unofficial crossover moment over on the kid-centric basic cable channel, Nickelodeon. We're certainly not using the word canon this week, but I'm happy to consider any blatant references that makes it clear that Twin Peaks has significantly influenced the greater culture at large. This podcast is for those who've seen all of Twin Peaks, including the third season, which we 100% need to consider as we go along, and today we are looking at the most recent Paw Patrol event, a full episode story titled Jungle Gems. I'm your host, John. In the Jungle Gems special event episode, Ryder and the pups are welcomed to Argentina by Carlos and Tracker, where they are immediately befriended by four monkeys. The stakes are not immediately apparent until we see that Mayor Humdinger and the Kitten Catastrophe crew are also there, exploring a nearby underground cave looking for treasure, which they find after coming across a small black box on a minecart rail track that contained a golden monkey mask that possesses Humdinger, who begins causing general confusion and delay in a trickster-like capacity. A local tribe calls on Ryder and Carlos to get the mask back where it belongs, which they do after the pups get to their vehicles in the mobile headquarters and a chase ensues. The kittens and monkeys eventually help contain the more and more erratic Humdinger, and even though the mask's black box had turned into a heavy silver metal, Rubble's bulldozer lifts it and follows the monkeys to return it where it belongs. Humdinger can't remember anything. The monkeys begin what becomes a dance party, and one of them speaks to the camera at the end in his Animal Crossing-style gibberish, as if it's thanking us for being there too. So there's not much background information to be found on this episode itself, but it's been loudly rumored since 2017 of intentional similarities between Twin Peaks' Sonny Jim Jones and Paw Patrol's Ryder, but even older rumors have been renewed after last Monday's Paw Patrol Jungle Gems special event episode. As early as Paw Patrol's debut in 2013, there have been rumblings of Ryder, the boy in charge of the pups' rescue missions, being intended to be Dale Cooper as a boy. Now, in certain ways, of course, I mean, the protagonists will be similar. They are both the main heroes of their show. But it also seems more foundational than that. Both are lawmen, but neither are police officers. Both are straight arrows with a strong moral compass. They prove themselves likable to everyone. Their intuition is top-notch. They respect anyone they speak to, and they are respected highly in return. And they have a full display of perfect courage. Now, we all know the Dale Cooper of seasons 1 and 2 of Twin Peaks, but readers here may not have actually seen the 2017 Paw Patrol Halloween episode. Every single character in Adventure Bay was scared to death of unexplained events on Captain Turbot's pirate-themed costume party on his boat. And, you know, everyone except, that is, Ryder. He was confident that there was an explainable situation, whether he knew the answer or not, and he never belittled anyone else who had their fears. I mean, it's a total Cooper move. And sure, I mean, you know, this could just be all archetypal coincidence, you know, though they also both have a best friend in the field who is a Watson to their homes. I mean, you know, Dale has faithful lawman Harry Truman, who has his own strong compass about things. Harry gave Dale a deputy badge when he was suspended by the FBI during an investigation because Harry knew Dale was the best damn lawman I've ever seen. And meanwhile, in Adventure Bay, we have Chase, the German Shepherd pup who drives the police vehicles. Chase so respects Ryder's leadership that he almost lost his nerve when they lost radio contact during the Mighty Pup special event, but did his absolute best, hoping the whole time that Ryder would be proud of him. Now, Paw Patrol creator Keith Chapman has never hidden his Twin Peaks fandom, though it doesn't often surface in the shows that broadcast multiple times daily on Nickelodeon. For copyright purposes, I could see the similarities remaining extremely convenient yet unprovable, but then there was Jungle Gems, and we'll talk about it after a break to hear some quick words from our fellow podcasters at the Ruminations Radio Network.
We know you've been scared watching horror movies by yourself. Well, now you don't have to. Hang out with Ruminations of Redrum, all things horror, from movies to the latest spooky games we've played. Come hang out, but hurry. The killer's behind you!
All right, welcome back. First off, it should have been a tip-off that things were going to be weirder than usual when Carlos and Tracker welcomed Ryder and the pups to Argentina, which, you know, they never do. I mean, they come from Adventure Bay. You know, never once has the show used real-world geographic locations, no matter what. But the part that actually floors me is the CGI version of that overhead shot of the black box in Argentina. Same angle, same round platform it's seated in, you know, the same metal tracks on both sides of it that we see when Lorraine contacts Argent on her BlackBerry in part 5 of The Return. And, you know, we'll see that box turn into a small silver lump by the end of part 5, never to be seen again. And, you know, I'm confident that the box's appearance here in the Paw Patrol episode isn't trying to add in, you know, Keith Chapman's actual Twin Peaks theories about the box's true purpose or backstory. You know, I mean, he brings in the nondescript natives and the golden monkey mask, and I'm pretty confident that he doesn't actually think it's in there within the Twin Peaks side of things. I think he was just making a reference for some of the grown-ups to notice with an element of Twin Peaks that could be expanded on in a direction, you know, in Twin Peaks, but could be expanded in a completely different direction for a kid's show, you know, with plenty of plausible deniability of actual Twin Peaks connections. Though, at the same time, this happens to be an episode where Humdinger gets possessed by an angry spirit in the golden mask. So, you know, he ends up becoming the man behind the mask, you know, so to speak. And Humdinger being the main bad guy of the show, I mean, it basically lines him up with slight correlation between him and Bob and Leland. But, you know, more than that, we've got to talk about those monkeys. You know, their names are Candy, Mandy, Sandy, and Dandy. You know, sure, they're not spelled the same way as the Pink Ladies. I checked on the Nickelodeon website. You know, they spell it C-A-N-D-Y instead of I-E at the end. And, you know, same thing with Mandy, Sandy, and Dandy. They all have Y's at the end. And, you know, sure, there's four of them, but can it really be a complete coincidence about the names of the monkeys? I mean, you know, there's four, but there should be three. But if you look at it another way, you know, Candy, Mandy, and Sandy look like they're fairly in, you know, older than Dandy. You know, he looks like a younger monkey. So, you know, Candy, Mandy, and Sandy are still kind of a trio. And, and, you know, Dandy driving a truck makes me wonder, you know, in a world of truck drivers or whatever Beulah says at the end of part one, you know, I have no idea if they're going that deep with the references, but I think it's really funny that he's driving a semi truck to lead rubble back to the cave. So I'll count it as reaching, but, you know, who knows, maybe that's a deeper level cut in there. But, you know, then there's the whole Dandy talking at the end of the screen, you know, in that gibberish thing that he did that sounds to me like, you know, he could be a neighbor on your Animal Crossing island. I understand it's cute jabbering to the kids and it makes it look like he's talking directly to them, you know, saying thank you or whatever, but it sure reminded me of something else with the monkey at the end of Fire Walk With Me that, you know, whispers Judy, you know, and if you think about that monkey, that's a monkey who's only in one other scene in Fire Walk With Me, and it's shown where he's behind the mask of the grandson. So, you know, like it might be a possible identity of Pierre Tremond on that way. And, you know, we've got grandson being younger than all the other characters, and Dandy is younger, just like everything else. I mean, you know, just like the grandson. And, you know, from a Nickelodeon point of view, of course, Dandy is kid-coded, and the one who most helps to save the day, so he's a viewer stand-in. I get it. But I think he's also a Fire Walk With Me reference, of you know, a stand-in of a Fire Walk With Me reference at the same time. You know, even though, you know, once again, it doesn't mean anything to the greater story in Twin Peaks. It's just, you know, a physical reference. You know, all the references seem very surface level in this, and I'm okay with that. You know, I mean, from a Twin Peaks standpoint, I'm glad that the episode didn't get as existential as part 18 of season 3, because, I mean, let's be honest, it's nice seeing what could happen if the good guys actually won. And yeah, I don't know. There's, you know, still the plausible deniability, but, and I don't know who authorized this at Nickelodeon, but I applaud their audacity and their guts, assuming that they actually knew what they were doing. You know, as far as best references to Twin Peaks in other media outside of Twin Peaks, you know, the Dual Spires episode of Psych will never be unseated as the gold standard, you know, due to the involvement of the actual Twin Peaks cast members in it. But this one was actually kind of pretty close, just from the audacity of what network it aired on. You know, I won't say that you need to watch this, but if you liked Sesame Street's Twin Peaks segment from, you know, back in the early 90s, I encourage you to look this up. But as far as trying to mine any more depth out of it, we're pretty much out. So you have been listening to the Blue Rose Task Force podcast, a production of Ruminations Radio Network. If you resonate with what you're hearing, please subscribe, rate, and review our show. And we would love to connect with you on our various social media accounts. We're barely on Facebook, slightly more active on Twitter at Blue Rose TF Pod. And if you really want to find me, I'm actually active on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Blue Rose Task Force. And soon to be Tumblr at Blue Rose Task Force Pod. Visit ruminationsradionetwork.com or our YouTube channel for additional great shows such as Ruminations from the Red Room and Brevity Box, and find any number of classic 25YL articles, including the one that I did for this Paw Patrol episode that includes some pictures, so you get a little bit better look at it in case you can't find the episode anymore. And send any comments, questions, or feedback to BlueRoseTaskForcePodcast@gmail.com, or catch me with it on any of the socials, and you'll hear it discussed next episode, because we're doing a mailbag. Until then, listeners, I'll see you in my dreams.
I wish you the best of luck.
Way to kind of deepen and expand, deepen the universe the show takes place in.
The show takes place in.
They'll really dig it. This is a gift to all the fans.